Spring from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, Text Number 29. Svadharma, Nishta, Shata, Janmavi, Puman, Rinchitam, Eti, Tata, Param, Imam, Avyakritam Bhagavato Ta Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatyaye Swadharma Nishta Shatajanvi Vipumam. Svadharma nishta shatajanmi vipumam.
Svadharma nishta shatajanmi vipumam.
Virinchitam eti tatak param himam.
Virinchitam eti tatak param himam.
Avyakritam bhagavato ta vaishnavam.
Avyakritam bhagavato ta vaishnavam.
Padam yataham vibhuda kalatyaye. Dharma Nishta. One who is situated in his own dharma or occupation. Shata Janmavi. For 100 births. Puman. A living entity. Virinchitam. The post of Lord Brahma. Eti gets tata thereafter param above he certainly mam attains me avyakritam without deviation bhagavataha under the supreme personality of Godhead. Ata, therefore, Vaishnavam, a pure devotee of the Lord. Padam, post. Yata, as. Aham, I. Vibhuda, demigods. Kalatyaye. After the annihilation of the material world. Translation for report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu, in unalloyed devotional service, is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and the other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. Please repeat. A person who executes his occupational duty, properly, for 100 births, becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. Purport. This verse gives an idea of the highest perfection of the evolutionary process, as described by the Vaishnava poet Jayadeva Goswami, pralaya payoni jale dritavan asivedam. Let us begin tracing the evolutionary process from the point of devastation, pralaya, when the whole universe is filled with water. At that time, there are many fishes and other aquatics, and from these aquatics evolve creepers, trees, etc. From these, insects and reptiles evolve, and from them, birds, beasts, and then human beings, and finally, civilized human beings. Now, the civilized human being is at a juncture where he can make further evolutionary progress in spiritual life. Here it is stated, Swadharma Nishta, that when a living entity becomes to the civilized form of life, there must be Swadharma. Social division according to one's work and qualifications. This is indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chatura Vanya Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. In civilizing the society, there must be the divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with his division. Here it is described, Sudharma Nishta, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, if one sticks to his position and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duty, Swadharma, for 100 births, for instance, if a Brahmin continues to act as a Brahmin, becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. There is also a planet called Shivaloka, or Sarashivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds. If after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sarashivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas are targets for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be obtained by a devotee who has no desire for material benefit. As indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, one does not escape material miseries even if he is elevated to Brahmaloka. Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Avartino Jana. Similarly, one is not very safe even if he is promoted to Shivaloka because the planet of Shivaloka is marginal. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and the end of the evolutionary process. Mom petya tu konteya panarjanmana vidyute. In other words, it is confirmed herein that a person in human society who has developed consciousness must take the Krishna consciousness in order to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka immediately after leaving the body. Tyaktva deham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. A devotee is fully in Krishna consciousness who is not attracted by any other loka or planet, including Brahma loka and Shiva loka, is immediately transferred to Krishna loka, mum eti. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. So this is text 9 again. Swadharma nishta shatajanvi puman virinshitam hitatak param himam. Avyakritam bhagavato tavaishnavam padamyataham vibhuda kalakyaye. Person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. Person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and the other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasakatya De Sitar. I'm supposed to end at 8:30? Is that right? Something like that. Just wanted to mention, after I left here, with Lila Sukha, I met him at the airport. We flew from Brussels to England, and there we went to the Rath Yatra, which was quite ecstatic. And during that, then right after that, we had our first European Brahmachari Convention. And we had 90 plus Brahmacharis coming, plus 7 or 8 sannyasis who were mostly teaching. We would have had more brahmacharis, but we could only fit in 90 brahmacharis into the room we had. Next year, that's half. I was told that's about half the number of brahmacharis in Europe, which is quite good. Then after that, then I went to Slovenia, where I went on padyatra, singing in the rain. It was a nice body, actually. It was out in the, not in the city, it was out in the country. So not only was singing in the rain, but mostly sometimes we were just singing to the flowers and the trees. Some people would pass by them. And then from there I went to Croatia, where they had a summer camp, and they also had a Rath Yatra, a very nice Rath Yatra. There was a number of senior devotees went to the Rath Yatra. Let's see if I can remember correctly. There was Mahavishnu Maharaj from England. There was Vyasaki Prabhu. And Guru Krishna Maharaj was there. Who else was there? Chandamali. And Kurukshetra. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. Yes. So it was quite nice. And then from there, we went to Hungary, and then Romania, and Bulgaria, and then Serbia, and then back to Croatia, and then here. Here in this verse, also not only we attended the Brahmacharis, but there was, I think we had, I did one wedding, and there was, at the summer festival in Hungary, there were 3 weddings. Actually, 3 different times they had weddings. So, some different varieties of the Vanashram Dharma. Here, there's verse mentions about duty, Swadharma. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna also said, mentions many times about Swadharma, Swadharma apichadeksham. Nadi kampitum arhasi, dharmyani yunya chayonya kshatriyasya navidhitai. Considering your specific duty as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better occupation for you than fighting for religious principles. Yadritya chupapanam swargam dwarma parita. That by such fighting, you can actually attain to the heavenly planets. There are 2 different types of swadharma. For one who's in the Bali concept of life, there is the Ivana and Ashram. And for those who are liberated, there is the orders coming down through the civil succession. Now we ourselves, for the most part, we can consider that we follow 2 of them. We follow the Swadharma coming from the Ivana and Ashram, not very deeply so far. In other words, we've divided ourselves into brahmacharis, Grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, and there's something about, theoretically, there are shudras, vaishyas, kshatriyas, and brahmins. Prabhupada, of course, emphasized to become a brahmin, and the method of doing that is by the process of devotional service. He didn't really expect that we were going to become so much purified in this age by carefully following the principles of the vanashram, but at least we wouldn't fall down if we followed them. Vanashram is actually quite simple.
as everything else is ultimately quite simple. But ashram is a scientific method to avoid lust, anger, and grief, and at the same time maintain the body. Generally speaking, when the conditioned soul wants to maintain the body, he can avoid lust, anger, and grief. But vanashram, dharma is the first principle. From that dharma, then we learn how to gratify, how to economically develop. For instance, in the Vedic culture, people knew that the basic principle of life was to eat. They weren't so much fooled to think that they were economically developing by making computers and videos and having airplanes. They didn't think that was really an important economic development. Although they undoubtedly had something similar. At least it says in the Krishna book that the gopis knew about the demigods flying the airplanes overhead. But they, obviously the gopis in Vrindavan weren't thinking about building an airplane themselves. Although, if they really wanted to, Krishna would have asked the demigods to give them one. But they were not very concerned with those things. In any case, those who have some intelligence, they know what's actually important. Fresh food, clean air, fresh water. Nowadays, you'd have to be a billionaire to have all those things practically. And even if you had $1 billion, most of them don't have any, because in the process of sinful activities gain $1 billion, they lose their intelligence, so they don't even know that those things are valuable. They have some idea that they have so much money in the bank and they're controlling everything, but they don't even take the time to sit down and eat nice prasadam, go to a place where there's clean air and fresh water. And then peaceful life, so that one can sleep nicely. One can go to sleep at a regular time and wake up at a regular time. So that's an opulence. Nowadays, people don't even have that opulence. They don't know when to sleep. They don't know when to wake up. They don't know how to sleep. They don't know where to sleep. They don't know practically anything. But they're very proud of how much knowledge they have. And of course, there's mating. People are very much emphasizing mating, but they don't even know that. They don't even know how to mate, or even how to relate to anyone else. They don't know who they're relating to. They're thinking that they're just relating to dead bodies in some way or another, and they think that's a relationship. And defending, they don't even know what to defend. They're not trying to defend their consciousness. They eat anything, they sleep anything, they hear anything. They don't know what to defend against. They go anywhere. So, vanashram at least gives people intelligence. What is the actual necessities of life and how to easily obtain them? Of course, the basic principle of vanashram is that everyone should do what they're supposed to do. And that what they're supposed to do, Krishna has created. The whole material universe is created by Krishna, and even the process of getting food has been created by Krishna, which is our necessity. Therefore, jagnatat kamanonyatra loko yam karma bandhanai tadartham apikondiya mukta sangha samajra. That work has to be done as a satisfaction for Vishnu, otherwise the work binds one to the material world, perform prescribed duties for his satisfaction, O son of Kunti. And this way you'll always remain unattached and free from bondage. So the principle is sacrifice. Devam bhavayate adena te deva bhavayantuva parashparam bhavayanta kshaya param bhavasita. And all these big jagas and the vanashram dharma system is based upon the recognition that there are demigods. The material universe is not going on by accident. There's no question of sacrifices if there's no belief in higher powers. If I think the rain is coming by accident, or if I don't really care how the rain comes, just as long as I have an umbrella. Or here you need a couple of umbrellas. If I don't really care, then why do I care, you know, about performing sacrifice? Because it doesn't, for me, it's a mythology that there are demigods and I have to appease them and
please, demigod, throw down some rain, you know. It's kind of dry down here. No, the whole basic principle is that behind the demigods is the Supreme Person. If I don't believe in the demigods, they have the power to control a few clouds in the universe. How am I going to believe that there's a Supreme Person who's able to control the demigods? If I can't believe that this universe is practically going on by superior control, intelligent control, by intelligent persons controlling this universe, then how can I believe that there is a supremely intelligent person? If I already limited the possibility of control to a few scientists, and they're throwing some Sputnik into the orbit, that's the perfection of, you know, control in the universe, and everything else is just by accident. Now, obviously, I'm missing something in my life, like sacrifice. Of course, everyone has to sacrifice. They get up in the morning, they go to work, they drive their cars, they go to the, you know, they do all kinds of sacrifice, but generally their sacrifices wind up in sinful activities. But real sacrifice means to follow Krishna's instructions, and the basic principle, or the basic foundation, is the agricultural community where the food is grown. And there is a connection, because in order to get food, they knew they had to perform sacrifice. So they didn't mind the householders taking some of the ghee from the cow, some of the milk, and giving it to the king. Even Nanda Maharaj, the king called Nanda Maharaj, and his followers, Kamsa, not one of our favorite kings, but he told Nanda Maharaj and the coward men to come to Mathura, bring the milk products, your taxes. Their taxes wasn't paper money, so that the king could build a fire and keep warm during the winter. No, the taxes were milk products and ghee, agricultural products. Why? Because supposedly the king took the agricultural products and he used them to perform sacrifices. So the Brahmins were occupied in performing sacrifices, and then the demigods and Vishnu was satisfied. The rain would come at the proper time, the sunlight would come in the proper time, the wind would blow in the proper way. Everything, all the demigods cooperated, so without practically any effort, and in Satyuga with no effort whatsoever, the crops would grow, the air would be pure, everyone's minds would be peaceful, everything was clear and calm and peaceful. And then people could think about spiritual life without any effort. Because all their economic problems were practically very simply solved. So in this age, when people are quite confused what actually is the goal and how to achieve it, still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, he introduced the Swadharma of simply chanting the holy names. Of course, chanting the holy names is not so simple. And when it's simple to do it, it's not so simple to perfect it. Because our minds are disturbed by the bodily concept of life, and our senses are agitated by material desires. Therefore, how to get out of this entanglement and chant Hare Krishna in such a way as we actually perform, we get the goal, which is love of Krishna, prema paramartha mahan, even beyond the liberation of going to Shiva Loka. So that means that we have to hear. That Swadharma of spiritual life means to learn how, first of all, how to hear. Shrindvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana. Or Maya Asakta Manakparta Yogam Yunjan Manashaya Asam Shayam Samagramam Yatag Yasasi Tashinu. But then we have, I guess maybe no one knows that. Hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So that yoga, that hearing process, has to be selective. It's not that we can just hear from anyone about Krishna and get the result. Therefore, in Prabhupada's books, at least, there are so many warnings, who to hear from and what to hear about. Not only warnings, there's advice. Although Prabhupada gave us, even at the very beginning, he gave us Krishna book,
But he didn't expect us just to read Krishna book. He expected us to read all his books so we get a very clear understanding of what the process is and how to gradually follow it. For instance, in the second canto, in the later chapters of the second canto, including 7, 8, 9 of the second canto, there Prabhupada cautions, because there's a description of the universal form, he says that it's actually more important for the conditioned soul to hear about Krishna's pastimes in the material energy than it is to hear about his pastimes in the internal energy. Therefore, we have to see whether we're conditioned souls. And if we're not conditioned souls, then we must be in the mode of pure goodness. That means we're above Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma, according to the Krishna book, generally he's a Kanishtha Adhikar. That is, he's a regulated devotee, performing devotional service under regulation. The topmost Brahman is a Kanishtha Adhikar. Of course, our Brahma, unfortunately, is Haridas Thakura. Therefore, he's on the spontaneous platform. So, being conditioned souls, we have to see what is Krishna's pastimes in the material world and why is it actually relevant to me? When we read the second canto, how from Pradhan comes Mahatattva, Mahatattva comes Avyakta, from Pradhan, Avyakta, Mahatattva, then from there comes the sound, from there comes we get the whole thing of false ego, the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, intelligence, then the mind, which is false ego, and the mode, and the ahankar, and the mode of goodness, etc. And then we come down to the gross and subtle elements. So we read this and we think, what has that got to do with me? That these pastimes are so boring. But actually the pastimes are a little bit more deep. And than that, Krishna's pastimes and this material energy that we're seeing before us, but we're not seeing. Pashanapi na pashati. So we have to develop those visions. For instance, Krishna says, little things. There are so many, not little things, there are big things, but there are so many things that we have to learn. For instance, Bhoktaram Dakatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Rishati. Krishna says we become peaceful, that is, and where do we find that word peaceful? Prasanatma. We become joyful. When we give up hankering, lamentation, and see all living entities as spiritual beings, potentially servants of Krishna, now indirectly serving Krishna in the illusory energy, and potentially serving him in the spiritual energy. So what is the problem that we don't see like that? Is because we have certain misconceptions. And what are those misconceptions? Primarily that something belongs to us in the material world. It may be a lot of things, it may be a little things, but something, somehow or another, we think we're the proprietors. Even if we only think we're this body, that's enough. That means that the illusory energy has given us that conception. Now, of course, it may seem unfair. We don't really want to identify ourselves with this body, but somehow or another we're being forced to, because we would like to have all the intelligence to be beyond the material concept of life. We already know it's not very pleasant, but it doesn't happen immediately because we're attached. And we don't even know how we're attached, so that these things have to be revealed to us. So to get out of the fact that I think I'm the proprietor, and even I get out of the fact, all right, it's Krishna's, but let me enjoy it anyhow, that I'm the enjoyer. Lust, anger, or I don't want it, it's all Krishna's, let him take the whole thing, let him enjoy it, I'm going to go somewhere else where I can enjoy. And then there is the delusion which comes from thinking ourselves to be the doers. Alright, I'm not the proprietor, I'm not the enjoyer, but I'm something. I'm a doer, I'm doing something. Krishna even says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm doing something. Therefore, some credit has to be given to me,
At least I'm delivering people. By following Krishna's instructions, I'm become the deliverer, the savior. Prabhupada said that's the last snare of material energy, to think ourselves independently of Krishna, even to think ourselves to be God. Someone has to get rid of those conceptions of life. And even before that, Matrivat Paradareshu, Losaravat, let's start the Atma. Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradvareshu Lustravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yakpashiti Sapanditaha. That is it true that whenever we look at a lady, immediately we remember our mother, hopefully in a favorable way. And that whenever we see a man, or a lady sees a man, then immediately she remembers her father, or sees him as her son. Except for the husband or wife. So that has to be taught. That's vana and ashram. The rules and regulations. So even due to our past activities, we have another tendency, but not to take it seriously. It's simply a idea within the mind. It comes and it'll go. If we have the right conception, we won't take it. We won't be influenced by it. And to see other people's properties garbage in the street. What to speak that is Krishna's, at least it's not mine, that it belongs to someone else. And to see all living entities be just like oneself. I may not understand how Krishna is the enjoyer, how Krishna is the savior, how Krishna is the controller, but at least by vana and ashram, I should understand that I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller, I'm not the super soul in everyone's heart. So this is a vision that's given to us, and we learned we can understand or hear this vision by following the process of sarana bhakti. So sarana bhakti simultaneously especially gives us an opportunity to try to appreciate Krishna, to serve him as the owner, just like the deities, Shri Radha Gopina. We recognize that they're the owner of everything here, at least in the temple. Although sometimes we'd like to think they should be the owners of Belgium. But at least we try to establish a situation where they're at least there, everything that goes on in the temple goes on according to their desire, according to their representatives. And that everything here is meant for their happiness, their enjoyment. And that there actually are real well-wishers, the supreme well-wishers of everyone in the community. So that we try to recognize that, and we perform practical service to them. And by doing that, then hopefully we come to the first platform of manmana. We think about them. Of course, Krishna doesn't start with just thinking about me in the form of the deity, but actually that's really the first thing we do, is we think of that Krishna is actually the enjoyer, and he's here presently. And I have a practical way of serving him and pleasing him. And outside the temple, Krishna is also, he's the light and the sun and the moon. We may not be able to do much with the sun and the moon, but we should appreciate that the light that we're getting is not coming by accident, it's coming from Krishna. The moonlight is coming from Krishna. And therefore, when we have this practical service to Krishna, the deity in the temple, we're not thinking they're just statues. We understand why we're serving them. Yata tora mula nishe chinena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka tataiva sarvatmana atuteja. Start that again, it's a nice verse. Yata tora mula nishe chinena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka sarvapaha ap. What's the next one? Anyhow, the tithes are atman atuteja. Just like if one waters the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. By supplying food to the stomach, then naturally the food goes to all the different parts of the body. And by worshipping Achyuta, Krishna, then actually all the different branches and the limbs of the body are served. So in the same way, for those who are not in Krishna consciousness, in order to satisfy, to
appease, as Nanda Maharaj was saying, to appease Indra, who is providing us with the water, then we have to perform Indra Jaga. We can't accept the gifts of the demigods there without appeasing them, without paying them back. But if we serve Krishna, then automatically all the demigods are satisfied. So our practical service is to serve, beginning with Radha Gopinath in the temple and the other deities, and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sacrifice in the sages, chanting the holy name and spreading it. This is the more mature sacrifice. Worshipping the deity in the temple is certainly the basic sacrifice, and then the more mature sacrifice to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because it's not enough in this age just to think about Krishna, even to recognize Krishna as the Lord of everything. That's the normal Kali Yuga. The chanting of the holy names does that. But in this Kali Yuga, some special thing is added to not only think about Krishna, but to think about Krishna in the feelings of separation. That's the highest form of devotional service. That especially in the material world, where we actually are separated from Krishna, but we don't feel it. That even when we think about Krishna in meditation, then we may not actually feel that we're actually separated from Him. We actually may feel that everything is alright now. But when we feel separated from Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can experience the highest feeling of intimate relationship with Krishna. So there are many different levels of sacrifice, and it's our duty to understand where we're at presently and what we really have to emphasize to go forward. There's no question of, you know, everything's lost. That no, we have to know where we are and what next step after step, so we go forward and ultimately please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please the Panchatattva, please our disciple succession, headed by the six Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami, coming down from Srila Prabhupada, to please them, so step by step we establish the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Srila Rupa Goswami wants us to do, so that we can actually know how to perform our Swadharma properly. Maybe in some time we'll manifest perfectly the Swadharma of the Vanashram, but we can hardly, you know, we can hardly remember to wash our hands after we eat, or what to speak before we eat, to come to the Brahminical platform. Therefore, the main emphasis is on the chanting of the holy names and our sadhana. And by doing that, especially this hearing this philosophy, taking it seriously, becoming a little bit in awe and reverence, that we haven't really gone that deeply, even to understand so far what our duty is, what to speak of, to actually come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. A little bit at a time, to get free from lust and anger and delusion, forgetfulness of Krishna, not knowing things clearly, like the demons don't know things clearly. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, pravitim cha nivritim cha jana na vidura asura nasochim napisatjaro nasatyam teshu vidyate. The demons, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. They don't know neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is within them. And why? Asatyam apratishtam te jagaro horanishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kemanya kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation, has no God in control, is produced in sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So this demoniac mentality has been infused with us since our birth, and by the good fortune of coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, now we're trying to get out of this misconceptions and accept in a practical way what our duty is and how to follow it, so we actually become conscious of Krishna. That the illusory energy doesn't take away our intelligence because we look at ladies lustfully or men with lust, or we're not thinking ourselves, you know, looking at other people's possessions or positions, thinking that that's what I should be, or looking at other living entities as objects of our sense gratification, And even beyond that, we're recognizing that it's all Krishna's energy. It all belongs to Him, including my body. It's all meant for Him. My duty is to please Him. And then ultimately, if I do that, I don't become the Savior, I simply become His instrument. And by becoming His instrument, I become liberated from all my material misconceptions. Therefore, we have a great opportunity. And if we take it one step, if we find out where we are and what the next step is and do it, then Krishna will help. And eventually, our disciple succession, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their desires will be fulfilled, and people will actually live happily and peacefully in this world. Those who have some sumedhasa, some intelligence, they'll take shelter in Mahaprabhu, and their material and spiritual lives will become successful. So, stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Is Vaishnava Dharma impossible in Kali Yuga?
No, it's not impossible. It's just not the primary method. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked, when Ramananda Roy recommended what is the method of self-realization, he started at the beginning. Varnashrama Acharyavita Purushena Pumapuma Vishnu Aradyate. So it's the beginning of worship of Lord Vishnu by following his instructions. At least the energy that we have right before us. So it's a practical method of learning how to live peacefully and happily in the material world, as Krishna did, as he showed the example in Vrindavan. So it's certainly a beginning. But it's not the... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected is bhaya, eko bhaya, as something external. The Prabhupada didn't reject it. He saw that there are many reasons why ultimately it would be a good idea to accept vanashram, or to utilize it. He said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, therefore immediately he wanted to get to the real point, the essence. But for us, we're utilizing it. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture, the vanashram was already there. But obviously it was already there. If it was already there and it was reached the perfection, then there was no reason for Dvaitacharya to pray that he comes down, because something more had to be there. But it was already established. Here there is animal culture. And when animal culture is prevalent, people won't have the peace of mind to hear a philosophy, what to speak of worshiping the deities and applying it. Therefore he said it was external. But for us it's not external, but it's not... Still, it's not the essence. Vanashram without hearing and chanting about Krishna will be meaningless. If we establish vanashram with all the rules and regulations, and we get our food on time in an easy way, and there's nice relationships between all the different classes of people, people live peacefully, but still people will go to, you know, in Kali Yuga, it'll still be difficult. And even in any yuga, Dharmaksvanustitat punsam vishvaksena katasu yat notpadiya yadidhuritim shrama eva hi kevalam. Duty's dharma executed without understanding that the goal is to become Krishna conscious are just useless waste of time. So eventually it will be established to the degree that's necessary, vanashram dharma, through the process of Krishna consciousness. When people's hearts become purified, and they become absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna and relishing transcendental pleasure, then all these necessities, the sinful necessities especially, sick people won't have, very few people, if any, will be smoking cigarettes or eating meat or having illicit sex or gambling. So all these industries will close down. And instead people will know, I have to, you know, work the land and do what's ever necessary, serve Krishna and do whatever necessary to get my necessities of life, and I have to be very careful in my relationships with all different classes of people, follow Krishna's instructions. So that, to some extent, he'll be there. But as far as elaborate sacrifices for the demigods and things like that, this, the only sacrifice in this age is the chanting of the holy name. The higher planets, they don't have to go through all these jagas. That's Maharloka, they do these jagas. But on the higher planets, Tapaloka, Jhanaloka, they're engaged in a different type of Krishna consciousness. So it's not that only by throwing things into a sacrifice, that that's the only kind of sacrifice. The real sacrifice in the sages, Krishna, that Krishna Varna Tvisa Krishna, Sango Pangasya Parashadam, Jagnaya Sankirtana Prayar, Yanti Hi Sumedasa. Chanting, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. That's the sacrifice. Anything else? Yes.
The verse mentions the gradual elevation of the soul to and to higher planetary systems. And a person who follows 100 times his prescribed duty can become in the post of Lord Brahma. Does that mean that he takes birth first 100 times as a human being before he goes to Lord Brahma? Or are there intermediate stages that he goes to other posts of demigods and then comes to the stage of Lord Brahma? How does it work?
Either way is possible. Generally, the situation in the material universe, as Gopakumara shows us in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that there is a gradual elevation. That's why Krishna created all the planets. Each planet suits a certain consciousness, and each part of the planet fulfills a certain type of consciousness that the soul has created. So you can go step by step through the different planets, or you can stay in this planet and cultivate the mode of goodness until you become eligible to go to Brahma Loka. Either is possible. In this age, though, it's very hard to cultivate goodness. So generally, those who perform the Sankirtan Jagga, it's up to Krishna, and there's maybe many factors. Krishna says, Prapya Punya Kritam Lokam Mushisva Shasiti Sama Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Loka Chanmaloka Ishri. Prapya Punya Kritam Lokam Ishisva Shasiti Sama Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Chanmajayate. He takes Jayate, he takes his birth. Loka Isham Jayate. He takes his birth on a He goes to the heavenly planets for some time and stays there, but then he comes back to the Suchi, either a Brahmin or a Shimatam or a wealthy mercantile community. And then he can cultivate Krishna consciousness again. So generally most people go to the heavenly planets, most souls, and they go to there to enjoy. But there are some, like the sages there, who go there to perform sacrifice and austerity. To elevate themselves further. But most living entities who go to the heavenly planets immediately get into the enjoying spirit. But you have Bhrigu and you have others who don't have that enjoying spirit as much. Yes? Well, generally, Chaitanya, in the Kali Yugas, Krishna appears in a blackish form. And there, the chanting of the holy name is also the method. But there, Krishna is not introducing the method of feeling separation from Krishna. People are doing it just as a sacrifice, as they do it in previous ages, as a sacrifice. So by performing sacrifice itself, if one perfects that sacrifice, one may be elevated to a Vaikuntha planet. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is introducing the mood of Srimati Radharani's separation from Krishna. And therefore, Anarpitam Charim Charat Karuna Vyatira Kalo. He's introduced something special, that feeling of separation. So by performance of sacrifice, we can come to the platform of Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, always thinking about Krishna, and therefore become eligible to transfer ourselves, be transferred to the spiritual world. But in the mood of separation, as the gopis are feeling. And therefore, if our rasa, if our relationship is in Goloka Vrindavan, then we become eligible to transfer there. Some, for those who are Vaishnava, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we cultivate two different types of separation. One separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement, which means that we become eligible to join the Sankirtan movement in the spiritual world. And also we
separation from Krishna and Vrindavan, so we become eligible, according to our rasa, to join Krishna's pastimes there. Well, that eligibility doesn't happen in other Kali Yugas. Is that clear? Yes.
How do you understand this evolutionary process?
Evolution of consciousness.
No, the process of the creepers evolving from the fish and the trees, from the forest.
Something like that happens. But the bodies are not created by an evolutionary process. They're created by the demigods. But there is a time when the demigods create these things. Because at the beginning, it says the whole universe, at least some time in the universe, is pralaya. Therefore, all the living entities are destroyed, except for some of the sages on the boat, along with all different varieties of species. And then the water dries up, and then the plants appear. And the but like that. So there's something like that that's explained here. But ultimately, if we read the Bhagavatam, we find out that practically speaking, all the different species are created at the same time. And even that's what it says, that's what they have it in the strata, in the rock strata. That's why Darwinism, when they examine the rock strata, it doesn't fit. Then they came up with this theory called punctuated evolution. And suddenly all the species appeared at once, because that's what the rock strata has. So the demigods really create all the species, but the living entities, they evolve from one species to the next according to their consciousness. There's a gradual evolution by the laws of material nature from one species to the next. The soul evolves from one species to the next until it gets the human form of life, where he can either evolve further to the demigods or beyond, or he can go back to the spiritual world or go downward. He can de-evolve. Devolution. But the bodies don't evolve. There's no evidence at all that bodies evolve by mutations or whatever else they crazy things they've come up with that they've never been able to demonstrate. They don't evolve that way. If anything, we can see people going lower. Not there in general. They're not going higher in this age. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.